Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast designed to help you become the leader you are destined to be. Today's episode is all about what I like to call keystone habits. What are they, and how can they help you launch into your potential? What is a keystone habit, right? I think I originally heard the term from James Clear's book on atomic habits, and I really liked the concept of keystone. If you're familiar with the word keystone, a lot of times it means like the centerpiece or the building block around which everything else is resting. It's the key center stone that is supporting everything else around it, right? So that's where the concept of a keystone habit comes into play. Is keystone habits are habits that support everything else, habits that support our growth, habits that support other habits, habits that make it easier for us to leverage habits and the power of habits. You know, the thing is that habits are so powerful exactly because they are habits. We as humans find that we cannot intentionally think about every single decision that we need to make every single second of every single day. It's not possible, right? And we don't really think about a lot of the things. Like, you don't think about how to breathe. You don't think about how to get up and walk, right? You don't have to think about those, but you also don't want to have to think about every single thing that you do. You don't want to have to think about, how do I brush my teeth? If you want to see this example of how powerful the habit of brushing your teeth, how much you've relegated that to habit, try brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand, right? If you normally brush your teeth with your right hand and you're right-handed, then the next time you brush your teeth, try to brush your teeth with your other hand, and you will see exactly how much you have created, you know, automated that habit of brushing your teeth. I don't mean that you automatically brush your teeth. I mean that how you brush your teeth is automatic. You probably always go through the same, you know, same system. You start with wetting the toothbrush and then the toothpaste. But I bet just which hand you use is probably something you don't think about when you go to brush your teeth, right? You don't want to think about that. You don't need to think about you need to use your brain for other things in life than how to brush your teeth, right? So that's an example of a habit that's just so automatic, right? You don't have to think about that. Now, that serves you well. A lot of our habits are things that we've done and created and decisions we've made so that we don't have to think about them again. And that's a good thing, right? There again, if you're not thinking about what toothpaste to buy every single time you go to the store, you're like, man, this is my brand of toothpaste. At some point you decided that. You don't have to rethink that every time you go to the store, and there are 8,000 brands of toothpaste and flavors, and this one is a sensitive teeth and this one is for enamel whitening, you know, right? You don't want to have to rethink that. So, you know, there again, just one example of a habit that is pretty much automated and that works for you. Where you put your keys, where do you set your purse down every time you come home from work or come home from the grocery store? You probably just have an automatic process for a lot of the minor tasks that you do every day. That's okay. That's a good thing. The problem is that our habits can get to become such a habit that we're not really thinking about them. And sometimes those are behaviors that we've created that don't serve us well. I shared with you before my Diet Coke habit. And it was funny how, you know, that was one of the more difficult habits for me to really think about and get rid of as a habit. It was just at some point, you know, I had created this Diet Coke habit, and particularly it was really only when we ate out. I wouldn't drink diet sodas at home or sodas or even regular sodas at home. That's something that just sort of fell away several years ago, but I kept this Diet Coke habit or diet soda habit when we went out to eat. And so we would sit down at a restaurant, and that was a habit. I just didn't even think about it. I just automatically ordered a diet soda. And so when we talk about Keystone Habits, I wanted to share a little bit about them. And then I think the next several episodes for the month of September, I think I'm going to break down some of the Keystone Habits in each dimension of life. So I'm going to do an episode on every dimension of life and the Keystone Habits there, because Keystone Habits are the habits that we can create or build or improve on that help leverage other habits that are the foundation for more success. And of course, this could apply for any dimension of life, right? There are keystone habits for physical dimension of health, our physical dimension of life. There are keystone habits for emotional dimension of life. There are keystone habits for relationships and social dimension of life. So I want to dedicate a podcast episode to each dimension of life, because I think it's worth drilling down into. But you know, you know, today's podcast is really to just introduce the concept of keystone habits. And so that's what a keystone habit is. It's the foundation or the habit that helps us build everything else on top of it. So it can be very powerful when we learn how to leverage that, how to build those keystone habits, right? We all want good habits or better habits, but the thing is that what makes something a good habit or a bad habit is pretty subjective, right? Because it's relative to where we are and where we want to go. A Diet Coke habit for me was not a good habit, but maybe it was a better habit than a regular Coke habit, you know, a regular soda habit, because there was all that sugar and stuff. And so at some point I had replaced drinking regular sodas and filled with sugar with a Diet Coke. And so there again, just an example of how for me today, now a Diet Coke habit is not a good thing relative to where I am with my health and where I want to go. A Diet Coke habit would be a negative thing or a negative habit. But for some people, it might be a better habit than drinking the real sugary stuff, right? All I'm saying here is your habits themselves are not necessarily bad. It's just relative to where they affect you, where you are, and where you're going. Now, I think any behavior that we do too much of or to an extreme is generally going to affect us in a negative way. I mean, exercise can be a good thing, right? But if you do it obsessively to the point of hurting your health, then exercise can be a bad thing. So it's very important to keep that in mind. As I talk about habits, I'm not putting down your habits. I don't even know what your habits are. I don't even know you, probably. So I'm not telling you that all your habits are bad. All I'm suggesting is that when we learn to leverage the power of habit, we can build a better habit, or we can improve on some habits, and we can change the results that we are getting in life. And there again, this could be in any dimension of life, physically, environment, relationships, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. But I think it's helpful to look at what are those keystone habits relative to every area of life, because those are the ones that you're going to see more results from improving or changing. Maybe you've heard of the Pareto principle, where the concept is that 80% of our results come from 20% of our effort, or, you know, 80% of our productivity comes from 20% of our time. 80% of our results come from, you know, and so you get the point. It's just kind of a principle that plays out. That 80-20 rule is what they call it, the Pareto principle. The majority of the work is done by 80%, you know, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people, or you could look at it in all kinds of different ways. It works the other way too, right? 20% affects 80%. So if you flip it, the inverse is also true. So I think it's important to think about that, right? How can we leverage that 80-20 concept when it comes to the habits and the systems, the processes that we have in our life? Because the thing is, if we want to change the results and the outcomes and the circumstances that we are experiencing, we've got to start taking a look at what is leading up to those circumstances, what's creating those outcomes, what's causing the results. I'm reminded of this story, and I don't really remember all of the details, but I'll just kind of give you the general story of the British cycling team. And the British cycling team for several years, never did really well in the Tour de France. You know, the Tour de France is one of those big multi-stage, multi-day races over there. And for years, the British cycling team was just never doing well. They never had riders who were performing well at any stage in the race. They never had someone win. You know, they just had kind of a slump from a sports perspective of they just were not historically performing well in that race. And so they hired someone to come in and look at what they were doing and, you know, a consultant, if you will, to help them start getting better results in the race. But what was interesting was he went at it from an entirely different approach. And I cannot remember his name at the moment, but what he did was focus on improving every single thing that the cyclists were doing by just 1%. In other words, I mean, you know, cyclists at that level and you know, professional cyclists are already eating well, obviously, to be performing at that level at all. But what he did was go in and see if we could tweak their nutrition just 1% better. Just 1% better. And I would ask you, and I guarantee you the answer for me would be absolutely yes. Is there something in my nutrition that I could do that's just 1% better? And I guarantee you there is. I know there was between last year and this year. I started training for another marathon. And, you know, I've eaten what I would consider pretty healthy for quite a few years now. And so I kind of didn't think about that last year, you know, just training for a marathon last year. I really, you know, I just focus on eating healthy, but I didn't give it a lot of thought beyond that. I just try to eat healthy. That's just the way I eat these days, for the most part, right? So I didn't give that a lot of thought, but last year when I started training for a marathon last year, I also upped the intensity of some of my workouts. So I didn't want to just run the marathon. I wanted to run it faster, right? So what I did was change some of the way that I was training, but I didn't change my nutrition. And it wasn't a great training season for me. I just, you know, went through that period of doing something new and something different. And so, you know, I was tired, I was exhausted, I was sore, you know, just upping the intensity of some of my workouts. And it wasn't the best marathon training season for me last year. It wasn't my best marathon last year. And, you know, I knew that that would, to some degree, that's natural and that's normal. When we change things and start to improve things, it takes some time to see the results usually. But what I didn't do is take a good look at not just what I was eating, but how much of it. And so this marathon training season, I'm like, okay, I want to get better, right? There's, like Michael Josephson said, we don't have to be sick to get better. So I really did some reading and some research on, you know, just improving performances and things like that. And then what I realized was that I was eating good, healthy, nutritious food, but I wasn't eating enough carbohydrates relative to the intensity of the training that I was going through. And so this marathon training cycle, I'm only a month into it and I've still got like 3 months to go, but this marathon training cycle, this season, this fall, I've been very intentional about counting those carbohydrates and just making sure I'm getting enough of them, right? Because the carbohydrates give you energy and it takes energy to train for a marathon. Well, what's interesting is that just making that one tweak, I've seen, you know, I feel better. I have more energy on my training runs. And so it's made just a huge difference. So I absolutely know there was room for 1% improvement in my nutrition. And back to the British cycling team, that's what they discovered as well. When they improved their nutrition just 1%, they saw some improved performances. But the coach and the consultant didn't stop there. He looked at, could we make their outfits that they wear just 1% more aerodynamic? And that came down to the quality of the material that they were using for their jerseys and their outfits. And then he looked at their bike setup. Could we make that just one, you know, one tweak so that it was the right proportion and the right angle so that their muscles could function just 1% more effectively? And he did that with everything. He did that with training and nutrition and what they were wearing and, you know, the seats that they were sitting on and all of that. So he broke every single element down and just tried to get 1% gain or improvement in every area. And what's fascinating about that is the British cycling team started to really, I mean, they started winning stages of the race. They started performing at just on a whole nother level. And so it's fascinating to me how when we break down just 1% of each dimension, each element, if you will, just like the British cycling team, is we can see that compound over time. And this is not a new concept, you guys. I talk about the power of consistency beats intensity over and over and over again, because this is really where we can leverage consistency in our habits, right? So that way we don't have to necessarily think through every decision that we're making. For me, this comes down to, it's kind of silly to say it, but one of the things that I realized is that I don't want to think about, you know, my meal planning every single day. Like I dedicate a little bit of time about twice a week to plan out meals for both of us, for Mac and myself, because we're not always eating the same thing. And then, you know, I kind of have a menu of, oh, these meals work, this is a meal we like or whatever. And so when I sit down, you know, on Sunday, for example, I might spend more in-depth time thinking about meal planning, but then come Tuesday, I don't want to have to think about that, right? I've already made that decision. And so that's an example of a habit or a system that I've created so that when I'm doing things like recording podcasts or traveling and speaking, I don't necessarily have to go reinvent the wheel on my nutrition. I've already thought about that and how to have some good quality nutrition. And so it's made that decision easier. And let me tell you, the more that we can leverage the power of processes and systems, the easier it becomes to achieve exceptional results with less effort. That almost sounded like a mouthful to say. So, but let me say that again. The more that we can improve our habits, our processes, our systems, the easier it becomes to achieve exceptional results with average effort. There, I said that much better that time, I think. Because it's thinking through some of those decisions and then just leveraging that decision making over and over and over again. And that becomes, you know, that allows us to freeze up our time, it frees up our energy, it frees up our thought processes so that we can dedicate that time, energy, and effort to something else, that brain power. I was reading a book the other day, it was talking about how our brains do not like to work. And I had to laugh at that because it's so true, isn't it? Like, if you've ever sat down to intentionally think through, you know, last podcast episode, I talked about sitting down and intentionally thinking 15 minutes a day. And if you've ever tried to do that, or if you've ever tried to do any type of meditation or dedicated prayer time, you know that the minute you sit down and you get comfortable and you start to intentionally think or meditate or pray, how long does it take on average for something, thoughts to pop into your head that don't belong, right? It's just so true that thinking is a discipline and our brains don't really like to think. They don't like to have to work because it takes energy. And so our brains just don't like to do it, right? Our human physical body is designed to like to keep things the same, homeostasis. It's just the way we're wired. And our brain is much the same way. It's almost like it thinks its primary job is to just not have to do as much effort. The thing is that when we can overcome that intentionally and leverage that, then we can start to see results at an incredible level, right? So relative to doing all of that, we can free up the thought processes and the energy, creating those and leveraging those keystone habits so that we can build on them and other habits become easier. So it's really important to identify, well, what are those keystone habits for me? And I think they are different for different people. I would almost guarantee that we don't all have the same keystone fundamental habits. And that's why I want to do a podcast episode dedicated to each dimension of life and what the potential keystone habits are for each one of those, because I would almost guarantee you that there are probably some I haven't even thought about that maybe are very powerful for you, that have leveraged your growth, that you've seen phenomenal results and improvement with. And so it would be almost like a list, but I want to talk through some of the ones that are just clearly more fundamental and foundational for the majority of us. So looking forward to drilling down into that over the next several episodes. See you next time.